Wolo and Friends on Sports 56. Here is your host, the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
Wednesday. Oh, I love Wednesdays. One of my favorite days of the week. We've got a full house for sure. Finally, the NBA Finals begin. Can't wait for that. The Knicks and the Spurs. The Spurs, by the way, for the series, minus 200. Could be close. I kind of think it'll be the Spurs to win it in six. We'll get into that in a second. The two biggest college conferences, the SEC and the Big Ten, they oppose that new Protect College Sports Act. Mike DeCourcy is who we missed on Monday, will be with us today as Joe Denk has the day off. And then Jack's Tournament. The Memorial. At one time, a lot of people thought that would become the fifth major. It's not. Then they said the players would. They're going to keep it at four. But Jack's Tournament is important. It's a signature event on a great golf course in Columbus, Ohio. We will make our golf picks. And all of a sudden, I got to tell you, the standings, they are extremely close. This is going to be my last week for a couple of weeks to make these picks. Landon Schmidt, when I hand you this, I could be in the lead. You're filling in for me. I suspect diligent research.
You're in good hands.
Okay. I like it when you talk
all
to
state.
Me. I like it when you talk to me that way. So that'll be our final pick. Of course, Dennis Phillippe in just a couple of minutes. So I got to ask you, Landon, your favorite storylines in this thing, Wemby versus Branson, Brunson, experience versus youth, the old thing about rust with rest versus experience but fatigue, especially a young team. Knicks have won the 11 straight games. That's pretty amazing. All these are terrific storylines. Your favorite one or two?
Well, actually, my favorite is actually it is still basketball related, but it's also WWE related. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Danhausen. He's a new superstar on the roster whose gimmick is cursing people. And in the series with the Knicks and the Cavaliers, he cursed the Cavaliers, and they went 0-4 in that series. And I don't know if he has done that yet for this game yet, but if I would imagine so, he might curse the Spurs.
Good luck on that one.
I don't know. Could be interesting.
I think who stops Wemby might be a little bit more important than this curse.
It very much is. I just think that's an interesting angle.
And I love Brunson. I don't know, is Castle going to be on him? I think that is an incredible storyline. I want to know, will Castle be a guy that steps up? How is Cat? I mean, they've got to get Karl Anthony Towns consistent. And Anobi, he's got to be a consistent guy. I'm really looking forward to this. I don't know about De'Aaron Fox. Is he 100%? He's got that high ankle sprain. That will go a long way. I mean, there's so many different twists and turns. The experience, the Knicks have that. They are a team. You got three guys that played college basketball together. They know each other. They're familiar with each other. They got to the Eastern Conference Finals a year ago. Now they've taken that next step. The Spurs are way ahead of schedule. Who would have thought in Wemby's third year they would make the finals? They would have taken the throne away from SGA and OKC, even though they lost a home game seven. I mean, that's pretty impressive stuff. But a lot of people say young teams like that, you know, you got Harper's a rookie. You got Castle, a second-year guy. Wemby's a third-year guy. All these guys without that scar tissue yet, they say when you get to the finals for the first time, you like hit this wall. If you're a young team who's never been there, they have fatigue. That will be interesting to see for sure. Also, I got to talk for a second about the Stanley Cup Finals because they never underdeliver. They are always really good. Yesterday, at home, Carolina, quickly, a 2-0 lead. Carolina doesn't blow leads. Carolina, I believe, was the favorite to win the Cup. No longer. They lost. They blew a 2-0 lead. They couldn't hold it. It was a great game. Three ties later, 6 minutes to go, the visiting Golden Knights, that are a more physical team maybe than Carolina. Carolina's quicker, I thought. They scored the game winner, 5-4, your final. This is Carolina's second loss all postseason. That's it. They really blew the game. They gave up goals from turnovers. That is uncharacteristic. They did not take care of the puck. I'll say this about Vegas. Vegas, when it's crunch time in the third period, their ability to produce has been outstanding. And so now they have got the home ice advantage. We'll see if that will hold up. I think it's going to be a great series. We shall see now that Vegas has taken away the Carolina home ice advantage. Real quick, did you see who's made the cover of EA Sports? Caleb Williams, first Chicago Bear ever to grace the cover. I hope the pressure doesn't get on Caleb, man.
Madden curse cover.
I'm really a little worried about that. And last thing before we bring in our friend to change this time zone here, Steph Curry. You know, he was with Under Armour, and Under Armour may be going under. 13 years they were all together. He left. He's been courted for the last 6 months to a year by a bunch of different places. I thought he'd end up with Nike, but he did not. He ends up with this Chinese company called Li Ning. This is pretty interesting. They are a sports apparel company that does a lot. They do basketball products. They do what they call athleisure wear, which I guess is like stuff that people go and exercise in and, you know, take exercise classes or go do Pilates, whatever it may be. And I think you can wear it out, too, if you're going to lunch with the girls, whatever it might be. And they got a golf line, which, you know, I wouldn't be shocked when he's 50 if he didn't try to make the senior tour, because he's that good a player. This is a 10-year deal that he signed, $40 million per year. On top of, what does he make, $70 million as a basketball player for a few more years because he's at the max? This dude's making $110 million. At least, because he's got other endorsements. What a story. And with this new deal, he's got the ability to sign others to wear his brand. So he's got even more spending ability. He truly is going to be, you know, LeBron is probably the most wealthy of this generation's basketball entities because he's parlayed good business practices. Shaq, I guess that's the generation before. Shaq is worth so much money now. He when he does endorsements, he gets part of the company. Think about it, what he's done with the pizza company, the ring, the general. He's got so much stuff going. But Curry is elevating himself right up there. Good for him. All of a sudden, we've changed times.
It's time for Dennis on Dave. Dennis on Dave.
Welcome to Dennis on Dave.
The guy who's made a fortune outside of basketball is Magic Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Magic is very, very, very rich.
He's got movie theaters.
Movie theaters, all kinds of stuff. He's done all kinds of inner city stuff. He's a great businessman. I am worried about Caleb Williams because it often ends poorly for whoever ends on the cover. And he's favored right now. Caleb is favored to be the MVP of the league next year. That's what people. And
the Bears got to win, and they got the toughest schedule. So
they have got. A brutal schedule. They have the toughest schedule in the league next year.
And between you and Landon Schmidt, now we got these curses going on. Well, Come on now.
He's the cursed guy. I'm just talking about dumb luck. Sometimes
don't shoot the messenger.
It's true. Yeah, yes. I don't know anything about the wrestling guy.
I don't either. I never heard of the wrestling guy
a long time ago. But one thing I do want to bring up is one of the big factors in the NBA finals is the coaches. And last week, I was talking about the fact that I thought that it was entirely possible that the Cavaliers might move off of Atkinson. And you were like, oh, that's insane. He was in the Eastern Conference Finals. Oh,
this has been bothering you for a week.
It's been driving me for a week. It's been driving me crazy because you caught me flat-footed.
Because Tom Thibodeau got fired after getting to the
Thibodeau
Eastern Conference Finals.
Thibodeau got fired and Mike Brown was brought in. And that's the reason why I think the Knicks have a legitimate chance of winning this year.
Here's the difference. How many former Tom Thibodeau players like Tom Thibodeau?
I have no idea.
Nobody. They hated him in Chicago. They hated him in New York. Players get rid of coaches. Atkinson is liked by his players. That's the difference in this scenario.
That is so anecdotal. You have nothing to back that up. You have nothing to back up that Atkinson is liked by his players.
I've read quotes.
He's disliked by everybody else. How do you know he's liked by the Cavaliers? I don't know if that's true, but the point is, Mike Brown is the more experienced coach. He's had more success than the Spurs coach, who looks disturbingly like Elon Musk. I just think that Mike Brown might be the difference in this series. Now, no, the Knicks are not going to win. The Knicks are not going to win the NBA Finals. They just don't have the size for it. But I think that Mike Brown will... They wouldn't have gone this far with Thibodeau. My thinking.
Well, you know, that's sort of the same thinking about... The change at Golden State when they brought in Steve Kerr, and he's an announcer and he's really good. I can't think of his name, who was the coach.
Right.
And they let him go. But Kenny Atkinson is staying for another year.
Well, I know. I do like the fact that the Knicks and the Spurs are going to party like it's 1999.
There you go. 53 years ago.
53 years ago. I'm trying to figure out which one I'm going to go to next. I've been watching the French Open. Love the French Open.
Oh yeah.
Although, as I said,
is
last
anybody
year,
left?
It does. It hurts my groin to watch the French Open just because it just seems like somebody's going to pull a groin on every single exchange in it. I love it. The surface of the French Open, the clay, is pulverized bricks. It's five layers of rock. It starts off with bigger rocks, smaller, 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 and the top layer is pulverized bricks. And one player, and I wish I knew this guy's name, I just saw this in passing, he's not a significant player, but somebody asked him about the fact that when he gets tossed a tennis ball, that's the ball he plays. He doesn't do the silly thing where they look at the tennis ball, throw it away, look at a tennis ball, throw it away. And he just went, I can't tell any difference. They all look exactly the same. Because they are all exactly the same. And he said, well, I don't know, maybe Rafi can tell a difference. Maybe, Djokovic can tell a difference.
You know, they
no,
get used,
there is no difference.
And they do lose some of their consistency. That's why they change them.
Certainly in the French, they get to change them all the time because they get dirty immediately. But these guys look at them but his point was, and I've thought this forever, that it's just a ritual. They're not seeing anything different in these tennis balls. They're just going through a ritual. And I like that this guy went, no, I play the first ball I catch.
You know, the top seed on the women's side, Sabalenka, lost today.
I did see that. I really love her.
Man, there are so many seeds ousted early. There's going to be a bunch of no-names.
Yeah, it's going to be, the final, so, you're going to be, I don't know who these people are, but it's going to be fun to watch.
On the men's side, it's going to be a first-time major winner for sure.
It will be. Exactly. You know, they had the enhanced games. The idea
where they encourage you to do steroids?
They strongly encourage you to use as many performance-enhancing drugs as possible. The enhanced games are over. And in the course of the enhanced games, exactly one world record was set. It was set by a guy, a swimmer, who was wearing a super suit. So the difference wasn't the drugs that he was taking, it's what he was wearing in the pool.
Huh.
So no records were set by somebody just because they were jacked up on performance-enhancing drugs. I don't know. That seems like a good sign to me. The Citadel has been sailing along in the college postseason largely on the bat of Zach Hunt. Zach Hunt is from the beautiful town of Dillon, South Carolina. It's the first town you get into when you go from the real Carolina, North Carolina, to South Carolina. And he's been killing it, hitting 290, 10 home runs, 47 RBIs. And his batting gloves are gardening gloves from Home Depot.
Wow.
What he essentially said
maybe
was,
you ought to get an NIL deal with those guys.
He said they last longer. They last longer than batting gloves.
I don't see how, you know, I mean, if it's a gardening
as far
glove,
as he's concerned, they fit better. Wow. And they last longer.
Wow.
Mainly, he's a hick who's cheap. That's what
apparently,
it comes down
yes.
to. The
sounds to me like I said though, he ought to be going.
Absolutely, there should be a deal on that.
NIL money with that.
So they got to be like, well, okay, we'll give you a couple of bucks. The Miami Marlins have put pitcher Jansen Junk on the 15-day DL. That's how bad the Marlins roster is. They actually have a pitcher whose name is Junk. And he's on the DL. The Sacramento A's retired the Yankees 1-2-3 in 8 innings of baseball. Unfortunately, they had to play the 3rd inning of that game, at which point the first 12 Yankees reached base. Ew. They scored. It was insane. They say it was a 13-run frame. Featuring, what was it, like 18 batters, 11 hits, 4 walks.
So that's the Yankee game you told me to take a look at? You
yes.
texted me? Okay, and I saw it. I didn't really it took
that
win, understand.
That one inning, and I actually texted you because the game was so good.
Yeah.
But then the third inning happened. It took 42 minutes to play the third inning.
Half an inning?
Half an inning.
Wow.
But still, 8, 1-2-3 innings. That's solid for Sacramento.
Except for 13.
And then they had to go to their clubhouse that's, you know.
I don't think they're really called the Sacramento A's.
No, they don't call themselves anything. Yeah, they don't.
Because they'll be Vegas next year, right?
Hopefully. And they don't want to claim that field where they're playing because that's the one that has.
It's a minor league ballpark.
Yeah, they got a prefab building in the outfield that's their clubhouse. They hate it. The Staten Island Fairy Hawks.
Really? That's their name?
The Staten Island Fairy Hawks.
What league are they? Is that single A baseball?
It is. But it's Ferry, the Staten Island Fairy.
I understood.
But the Fairy Hawks, they decided to participate in Jewish Heritage Night.
I love this. Go ahead.
You're going to love it even more. They wore jerseys that read Minches on the front and had a Star of David on each sleeve. Unfortunately, they spelled Minches M-E-N-C-H-E-S.
Mencats?
Essentially, Menches. They dropped the first S, so they misspelled Menches.
Because Menches, M-E-N-S-C-H.
C-H-E-S. But they skipped the first S, so they misspelled. But what I loved about this, and I'll wait for you to finish looking up whatever you're looking up, Dave.
I'm just getting myself ready for who you were brought by. I'm still with you, buddy. I can.
My favorite comment about the
God, you sound like my wife now.
I'm sorry to hear that. Your wedding vows. Do you take Dave? I do. What I love about this is the mentions. It's Staten Island, and one person pointed out, boy, it's a shame that they couldn't scare up one Jewish person to check the spelling. In New York
in
City.
New York.
The Browns traded their best player, Miles Garrett, to the Rams for the Rams' 10th best player, Jared Verse. Garrett said playing in Cleveland made him tougher.
Well, I believe that.
Living in Cleveland makes you tougher. The press wanted a comment from the starting back quarterback from the Browns about the trade, but the Browns don't have one.
Now, That is an interesting trade because you're getting a 30-year-old guy who is 2-time defensive player of the year.
He's incredible.
So the Rams are going all in because, you know, the Super Bowl
is. This is it. Hey, they're at SoFi.
At SoFi. Okay. So I get it. Verse has already made 2 Pro Bowls.
Yeah.
I mean, he's really good. And you know how old he is? 25.
Yeah, but he's a one-trick pony. He only does one thing. He's just a bulldozer.
Well, the other aspect of that is they got a first round pick and a second round pick out of that. So it's interesting to me. It's just to me, it's like the Rams are saying we're all in for this year.
It is. That's exactly what they're saying.
What the heck? We'll see what happens after that.
Well, plus they're also saying like everybody else in the NFL, it doesn't make any difference what you give Cleveland. They're not going to suddenly get good. They have 4 four quarterbacks on their roster, and none of them are a starting quarterback. And currently,
you don't like Shiloh?
Currently, Deshaun is the he's considered to be the starter, and he is an unbelievable tool. Jackson Dart didn't exactly endear himself to the rest of the NFL by introducing Trump, but so the Giants decided to punish him in the best possible way. They got him Odell Beckham Jr. Odell has been a free agent since he tore his ACL in 2022. Odell Beckham Jr. Has been a free agent for 4 years, which means he's been retired for 4 years, and he's a pill. Odell is difficult, and it's going to be a real treat for Jackson Dart because Odell wants the ball. He's not a guy who's going to be satisfied with a couple of touches a game.
I kind of thought this was just so he can retire there, but we'll see.
Maybe. The Dallas Cowboys Public Relations Department won the Roselle Award. The Roselle Award is a made-up award for the best public relations department in the NFL.
Oh, you know, that's how he started in the NFL. He was their PR guy.
And I got to say, it's not wrong that the PR team for the Cowboys get an award, because we talk about the Cowboys all the time,
and they've sucked
for decades.
Exactly, 100%.
So they get away with it.
They should
get an award. They suck up to their owner, and they lie about their team, and they win an imaginary award. But they're not going to win the Lombardi. So you may as well give him the Roselle. Interesting note about Vince Lombardi that I stumbled onto in the course of this. Vince Lombardi is considered to be the first supporter of gay players in the NFL. Not making this up.
How did you find that?
Because this is what I look up. Lombardi.
Where did you find that?
Well, took a deep dive on this, because I went from the Roselle Award to the Lombardi Award, and then I found this, that he, as soon as Lombardi got to whatever team it was he was coaching, there was one player everybody knew was gay. And he said to this player, "You're perfectly safe. As long as I'm the coach of this team, you're perfectly safe." In fact, he let it be known to every one of his teammates, if anybody is caught discriminating against a gay player, you're going to be cut instantly.
Said to
every one of his coordinators, "If I catch you discriminating against a gay player, I will fire you on the spot."
Wow.
Something none of us ever
was
knew.
Was that when he was with Green Bay or Washington?
I think it was Washington. But I think that's really cool. Uncool, Paraguayan tennis player Adolfo Daniel Vallejo said after his loss.
So
he's playing a 17-year-old French kid named Moise Kwame. No, I worked on this one. I looked it up.
The crowd was going crazy for the
17-year-old Frenchman.
And he's a Frenchman, right?
Yeah. So Vallejo said after the match that the reason that he lost is because the female umpire couldn't get control of the crowd.
Was not strong enough.
So it should have been a male referee for the match.
He got fined.
$65,000 for that comment. And that's... That sounds about right.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
100%.
This is weird. Hats off to Oklahoma first baseman Dayton Tokey, who fouled a ball off his own junk in the sixth. And it was, I've seen the footage, and it's one of those things where you watch it and go, boy, I really wish I hadn't clicked on that. But he fouled a ball off his own junk in the sixth. Shook it off. Oh, he grounded out in that at-bat, but shook it off and then came back to hit the walk-off home run in the bottom of the 10th.
Right.
After fouling
the
ball
off
his own cup.
That's a tough dude right there. Dennis Phillippe, we thank you. That is for sure.
Yeah, it's the good, the bad, and the stupid.
Yeah. Dennis, always brought to you by the good folks at Dinstall's Summer Sizzler Special this week. Chocolate pecan fudge. It's award-winning. You know... This is true.
That Wait.
Well, you know, I have to clarify after listening to you, because I have no idea if half the stuff you say is true.
It's all true.
You know, this is a fact, that Dinstall's fudge was voted best in America. I thought at one time it went to an international thing and won that too. But Becky just said in America. I think it's the world, personally. But it's made with the highest quality chocolate. You know that. And you can get that chocolate on their strawberries. You can get that chocolate on their turtle latch. You can get that chocolate just plain if you want. It's fantastic. It's incredible. But this week, you can get the Summer Sizzler Special. That means a great price on the chocolate pecan fudge. I would take advantage. I'd go to any of their five places where they make it on Pleasant View in the burbs. That would be Collierville in Germantown, downtown, or in my neck of the woods, Laurelwood. Make your week sweeter with Dinstals. As I sit here in the Family Leisure Studio, the ultimate pool party still going on where you can get an above-ground pool starting at under $4,000. In-ground pool, state-of-the-art. They're doing that now, putting them in. It's 50 grand, but it's definitely going to be the best thing you ever did. That's a good price. All in-stock patio furniture, price to move. You get a five-piece patio furniture set starting at under a grand. Those outdoor sectionals, they're just incredible with the new designs and the new fabrics that are waterproof. You can get that for under $1,300. You get a free umbrella and a base with select patio furniture sets. And if you mention us, $200 off on any purchase of a pool or a spa. Head on over, go see Billy, go see Lindsay at Family Leisure. We take a break. We are headed to Pittsburgh. Mike DeCourcy, did you know the SEC and the Big Ten do not want Congress to come in and help? We'll see what Mike thinks about that in just a second.
Did you miss your favorite Sports 56 show?
No!
Check out the podcast, broken down hourly, at sports56whbq.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to like and subscribe. Never miss any Sports 56 show again with our podcasts available daily from Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Wallow and Friends on Sports 56. Here once again is the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
All right, we're headed to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania momentarily. We're going to talk college sports and a lot more with Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News, who, by the way, is also covering the World Cup for the Sporting News, so we'll get into that in a little bit because it starts soon. It's all brought to you by Southern Security. If you need cash, you can refinance your auto loan with Southern Security, and you won't have a payment for 60 days, and they'll finance up to 115% of the current value of your vehicle. And Southern Security says that's up to 72 months. So to find out how you can put more cash in your pocket, call our member service team at 901-452-7900, or you can apply on the website, southernsecurity.com. Seven locations, they're not for profit. They can do things banks can't. Southern Security, your home team credit union. We go to Pittsburgh. Mike DeCourcy, I know usually you hear him on Mondays. He switched to Wednesday this week. Good morning, Mike. News coming out this morning. The Big Ten and the SEC do not want help from Congress or even antitrust exemption. They oppose the new Protect College Sports Act. I was curious what you might think about that as the news broke this morning.
Yeah, I don't think that if they don't want those things, it's that they don't want that bill. I don't think that they the reality is that the bill is very heavily it's renamed from the SAVE Act, which was the work of Cody Campbell from Texas Tech.
Right.
But it's really it's been polished up. It's in better shape, but it's still basically that bill. And the two major leagues, the two most, I shouldn't say that, major leagues, the two wealthiest leagues don't want what he's proposing because they know what he's agitating for, which is essentially an equal distribution among the power leagues. And it's ironic, the thing that is ironic about that is that they want what the SEC and Big Ten are making, but don't think that they have any interest at all in the American and the Mountain West and Pac. Like, don't think they want to give up what they're having so that those can be elevated. No. They just want to be where the Big Ten and SEC are, and that's why those two leagues are not interested.
The original Cody Campbell thing was a distribution of those media rights revenue that would trickle down to everybody. That, I think, was his.
It would trickle original. Down to everybody, but it would be what it would do would be to elevate or elevate the SEC and the Big 12 and ACC some so that they would sort of meet the SEC and Big 10 in the middle. But and the thing that was so disingenuous about it and bothered me so much was that they had no interest at all in elevating what was behind them.
Oh, no. I hear that that's part of this, you know, that's the back end of this of this thing. And that's probably the thing I agree that is the deal breaker. There are good things in this act. Limiting athletes to one transfer without penalty, the 5-year max. So you either you have 5 years. Once you're in, you can play all 5 years. You don't get any relief from injury. There's no.
Is that a good thing?
Redshirt. I don't have a problem with that. I really don't.
Why not?
Because you're getting an extra year, and I don't think you should be playing college sports past 24.
Well, I'm not sure that necessarily should be the case either. But if I'm on your practice field and I step in a rut and I blow my knee up, that's my fault? Or I'm on your team and I get hit by the opposition and I blow my knee up in week one? Oh, sorry, too bad, Joe. I don't see how.
But Mike, that's why you get the extra year in case that happens.
But lots of people will get that extra year and play all 5 years. Why not just keep it as it is with 4 years, which is what it should be, and exceptions for those who meet terrible circumstances?
Because they manipulate those circumstances. And I'm okay with having a 5-year career, and then you go off and go on. I understand your side of it. I can live with that. I certainly can. I agree with prohibiting former pro athletes to play college sports. That's part of it.
It depends on how you look at it. I mean, I don't see why someone who's played in the G League or has played in Europe shouldn't be allowed to play in college when the college athletes are compensated at much higher levels than either of those two leagues compensate their participants.
Because you basically declared that you weren't interested in college athletics and you went a different route, and now there's so much more money in college, you want to come back. I think you make the declaration, and that's what it is.
But you weren't interested when they wouldn't pay you, and now they will. I mean, I think there's a difference there. I don't see why those who grow up in Europe have to be in a circumstance where they go into Real Madrid's club because that's where you can ball. That's the only place. I mean, unless you get, hey, mom and dad, we're 12, but I want to move to Memphis because I want to be a player. And if I do it here, I'm never going to be able to play in college. I'm going to have to always play for Real Madrid. I mean, that doesn't seem to be fair or logical, especially when you're compensating someone like Momcilovic, who's at Kentucky next year, $6 million.
That's ridiculous. And, you know, that's why the College Sports Commission, to me, is an essential. I don't know where the Big Ten and the SEC fall in that. I know the Big 12 agreed to it. But when you're passed out, let's take Momcilovic. Here's a guy, went to the combine, right? What'd they say? Stay in school another year. You're not good enough yet to be a guaranteed first-round draft choice.
Right.
And so he goes into the portal. He becomes the hottest portal guy, and there's a bidding war. The guy's going to make $6 million next year playing at Kentucky. That's as much as a top 10 guy would make in the NBA draft.
Right, exactly. And my point about that is that if there's someone willing to pay it, I don't see why that's problematic. If you're that value, then why shouldn't you get that value?
Well, the only reason I say that, I hear you. I don't mind guys making money, but I don't believe that this is a sustainable financial model. Your model was $21 million rev share. And then, okay, some of the stars, they get NIL money for name, image, and likeness because they're stars. They're promoting the game, and they deserve a share of that at a reasonable market price. Isn't that what the College Sports Commission
That's
is supposed
idea,
to?
That's the idea, yeah. But why is it? Go ahead.
Do you think that you can sustain? Maybe there are a few schools, Texas at $40 million or more, $44 million for their football team. What did Kentucky play last year? It was 20-some million dollars. Memphis, the $6 million he just signed, Memphis is hoping to get maybe $7 million for the whole team. I mean,
I'll give you three examples of outsized spending, let's say. So I won't put a label on it, other than it's exceptional spending that have occurred in college athletics in the last decade, probably in this decade. Okay, so on the one hand, you have Jimbo Fisher paid $75 million to go away.
Right.
Don't work here. That's one. On the other hand, you have the University of Pittsburgh build a nine-figure, I believe it's around $125 million or more, new facility for its hoop team football? No. For its volleyball and wrestling and other non-revenue sports teams. And then you have Milan Monsilovic making $6 million to hoop. Which of those seems most plausible to you? To me, the basketball one, the Monsilovic seems like the bargain in that.
I just don't know. You know, Kentucky seems to have endless amounts of money. I know the Big Ten and the SEC, they bring in $100 million, I guess, per school. Maybe those are the exceptions that can pay that. I don't know if they can sustain that. I hear everybody saying this model can't work. It is not sustainable forever. And you've got the rev share set. Here's where you've got to make some sense for this to be sustainable. And players can make a lot of money forever, but a guy that can't make the NBA, to me, shouldn't make $6 million a year. And by the way, how is he getting that money? Is the name, image, likeness actually being really enforced, or is he just getting that deal because they're going to pay it without really services rendered?
Well, it's a great question, and people are offended by the idea he's being paid to play. I'm not.
I'm not offended by that. By the amount.
A lot of people are. They say, "Oh, it's pay for play," like it's a four-letter word. I'm not bothered by it, but a lot of people are. But if you want something better than this, they should have and could have spent the past 3 years minimum. But just 23 is when it's starting to really percolate, and it's now 26. So about the last 3 years, they could have spent the last 3 years trying to figure out, because it is complicated. How do we do a collective bargaining agreement and make this work? They could have done that. And all they've done is try to run ends around against that. Now, we'll go to Congress. No, we'll go to Congress. No, we've got another Congress bill, but, oh, no, we don't like that one. I mean, instead of just saying, we got to talk to the people who are involved in this and work out a fair deal. And instead of trying to impose all the time, because even if you do impose this, even if Congress does do this, that doesn't mean there won't be legal action against it. I don't know that this bill is going to make it to the finish line, but if it does, it's almost guaranteed to cut the salaries of someone like Momcilovic to a much lesser version of what he's getting, of what he would get if he had more time. But someone like that can look at Momcilovic and say, well, I can average 15 points a game at Kentucky. Why do I only get 600,000 or whatever it'll be under these new restraints? That could go to court, and that could get blown up by if you go back to the Alston case in the Supreme Court as precedent, that could get blown up, and then we're right back where we came from instead of working on bargaining that could have been in place years ago.
Well, I'm not saying that's wrong, but I am saying you got to make the correction at some point. And if I recall with the way this is supposedly going to work, it is you've already got the $21 million rev share. You bring this money into a workable sense, and with the sports commission at a fair rate, and you've got a model that is sustainable.
But it's not fair because you're constraining the payments to athletes who have to who it's been proven can get more. We have seen it now. We saw it with AJ DeBonsa. We're seeing it with Mosilovic. We're seeing it with Flory Badunka. These athletes can command more than what the CSC is willing, if it were enforced, if they were empowered and they enforced the regulations that were in the House settlement, it would be a fraction of that.
Is it sustainable? That's the question I got for you. How many schools can really compete with that?
It depends on what you're competing for. I mean, can you compete in football if you're at, I don't know, Pitt? Well, what are you competing for? Are you competing for the ACC title? Well, yeah, you can because you've won it 4 years ago, and who else is in your league that can go places where you can't? Maybe Florida State has resources that you don't, and Clemson does, but they haven't used them very wisely lately, and they have. But I mean, Miami, Florida certainly doesn't have any money that Pitt can't get to. They have a geographic recruiting advantage. It depends on what you're competing for. There's no doubt that the wealthiest schools will have the biggest advantage, but that's been the case always in different ways. They just didn't have that advantage in terms of the procurement of talent financially, but the blue blood schools have always had brand advantages that they wielded for decades quite proudly and quite happily, and certainly Ole Miss did not have the ability to compete for talent in basketball with Kentucky, but they were in the same league, and they have been in the same league, and occasionally have beaten them, and no one said, hey, it's unsustainable that Kentucky's almost always better than Ole Miss. They just kept playing and moving forward.
We'll have to pick this up again. Actually, I won't be here for a couple of weeks. You'll be with my good friend Landon Schmidt, but we'll pick this back up soon. Mike, I always appreciate you.
Oh, it's great to talk to you, Dave, and I hope you're having a good time with those couple of weeks.
I am, I promise. Awesome. I'll let you know. Thank you much. Take care. That is Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News. He's brought to you by Memphis Public Links, and we're about to do our golf picks here. Johnny Lyons, Greg Hines, Mickey Barker standing by. There's always something good happening at Memphis Public Links. Go to memphispubliclinks.com. You can make your tee times, you can see everything that's happening, all the updates. They've had the Audubon Championship, the Galloway Championship, Pine Hills coming up. Oh, by the way, Pine Hills now open 7 days a week. Something great's always happening with Memphis Public Golf. Golf picks and golf talk in just a minute right here on Wallow and Friends.
You have opinions?
I think it's over.
Of course you do.
I don't think it's that simple.
Everyone does.
I got all the answers.
Hit us up on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line at 360-8255. Now back to Wallow and Friends on Sports 56. Here once again is the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
Welcome back in. Oh my gosh, these standings are so close. Greg is at $10,960,000, Johnny $10,247,000, Wallow $10,137,000, and then Mickey, you're about $3 million behind $7,741,000. But in this day and age, with signature events like we have with Jack's tournament this week, you're one win away from tying it up. So we've got some really great close competition going on right here. And I just lost Johnny, so we'll have to get him back. I thought I'd knocked that down twice. Mickey Barker, Greg Hines with us. The new schedule is coming out in 3 weeks. Things are trickling out now about a two-track system, of which the second track, if you're in that thing, is just an elevated Corn Ferry Tour kind of thing. Even Jack has taken some shots about how bunched it is. They're talking about bigger cities like, I hate to say, the Chicago, Denver, and Nashville as part of the regular PGA Tour. Does that make any of you guys worry about Memphis? I'll start with you, Mickey.
Not too much. The fact that the FedEx World headquarters is right there on number 5 and 6, that gives me hope that we'll always have a good event here in Memphis.
Johnny, what do you think?
Of course, I enjoyed the tournament a lot better when it was just a regular tour event.
but I definitely am, don't trust Brian Rolapp these days. He's, you know, and Don Ray, you know, just got fired as president of the PGA. There's some weird things going on.
I think Memphis is protected as long as FedEx is still the title sponsor of the tour. Greg, what's your sense of this thing? Because Ryan Rolapp wants bigger markets, and he wants a condensed schedule. And instead of, I think he was really, like a month ago, just going to snap it on there, and now he's gotten some resistance. I think he's slowing down on that. Give me your sense.
Yeah, I kind of feel like they're slowing down a little bit what they were doing. I think FedEx obviously protects St. Jude being a huge part in such a long time deal, but he's proven tradition's not his thing right now. He wants to make changes and move it in a direction, and Jack was not polite in what he said about it.
No.
And I don't blame him. I think it's a little confusing where they're going. I think Memphis is fine as long as FedEx and St. Jude continue to hang around and be a part of it. And you know, you don't want to be a regular tour event. We want to be a signature event. That looks like it's going to, if you're not signature, you're just going to kind of be the also-ran.
I agree with that, 100%.
Tour,
so. Yeah, because this two-track thing, there's more money, but you're not getting, you know, the top 120 players. And they're talking about with this two-track system, in other words, the Stars signature events, all one track. They'll play, and they'll probably try to space that out to two or three tournaments per month. And the second track is going to be just, honestly, a more glamorous Korn Ferry Tour with a little bit of better money. But you got to really pay for it, and you're not getting the top players. And there's going to be relegation at the bottom of the top track one to, you know, the guys that do really well, top 20 of track two, move up. Give me your sense of that, Mickey Barker.
Yeah. I don't necessarily like that either. I like the, you know, I'm a traditionalist. I like the tour the way it is right now. I don't think it's really broken too badly. Having a tournament every week, you know, a top tier event where, you know, Scheffler can play in the CJ Cup, Byron Nelson, if he wants to. Whereas, you know, if that goes to a second tier or B level or whatever, he may not have the option of playing in his hometown
right.
event. So, yeah, I'm a little concerned as far as that goes.
Johnny?
I totally think that the Rolapp has got everybody confused. And, you know, too many signature events is the problem.
Greg?
Yeah, I think, you know, the cool part is that these young guys are going to be able to flourish in that Tier 2 event and make a name for themselves. And the top-tier guys are going to have to be on their game to stay up there. But, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I'm confused. I think the average consumer of the PGA Tour is confused. So I just don't know where we're going.
Stay tuned. We're going to know in 3 weeks exactly what is going to happen. And I don't know how much change for 27, but I got a feeling 28 is going to look really, really crazy. Okay, so we do have Jack's tournament. At one point, it was going to be the fifth major. Then the Players is going to be the fifth major. I think they're going to keep it the way it is with four majors. But this is a great golf course. It's Jack's course, par 72. Last year, they averaged about 73 and a half. So it's tough. 7,500, almost 7,600 yards with deep, rough. Scottie Scheffler's won it two times in a row. You've got the U.S. Open right after this. So there's a lot of guys playing. Scotty went to Shinnecock Hills and scouted it and played a couple of rounds there. I don't know how many players really want to win the week before a major, but it'll be interesting to see. And Mickey, you've got the first pick.
Well, I'm kind of locked in. You can't not take Scheffler if you have the chance
right.
to. So that's the direction I'm going.
Well, he's guaranteed top five, right? I mean, he's amazing. You know, Rory's never played great at this tournament. But I don't think I can pass on him because I think he'll, you know, make some money, and I think he's got to prove something. He hasn't played very much. I do think he's going to play well this week, so I'm going to go with Rory. That would mean, Johnny, you're next.
Okay, yeah, that's not too much of a shock there, taking Scotty and Rory in 1 and 2. I'm going to go with my man, Wyndham Clark.
Wow, okay.
Wyndham Clark, there you go. Well, he didn't do anything for me last time, but last time I had him, but I'm going to take Siwoo Kim. Mm,
I don't blame you. I mean, he's high on that list.
5 straight top 20s, 7 yep. top 10s this year. Playing good.
That brings us back to Mickey.
Well, for this year, it's a tough, long golf course, so I think Cam Young is the direction I would go. Mm.
Good call.
That was my next guy. I'm going to take a chance here. I'm going to go with Xander Schauffele. He's due to play well. Johnny?
Okay, we'll try Ben Griffin.
Good pick. If he can putt, and he usually does, he'll play well. Greg?
Hard not to take your guy, Wolo.
Oh, you're going to go Åberg.
Yeah.
Åberg. All right, you got Åberg. That gets us back to Mickey.
So this is where it starts getting fun. So you have Spieth and Thomas and Fitzpatrick and Alex Smalley. He's been playing great.
Yeah, he made me money.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Aaron Rye.
Aaron Rye, wow. All right, I'm going to take Matt Fitzpatrick. Johnny?
See here. I'll go with Russell Henley. Kind of hot.
Yeah. I can't see him winning 2 weeks in a row. That's for sure. Greg?
We're going to go. Oh, man. I don't know. How about Sepp Straka?
Sepp. Okay. So.
Man, not a single American.
You do not. That's correct. Unlike you, Greg Hines.
Very unlike me.
Scotty, unlike Cam me. Young, Aaron Rye for Mickey, playing catch-up here. Rory, Xander, Matt Fitzpatrick for me. Wyndham Clark, he hasn't played since he won that tournament. He was sensational a couple of weeks ago. Ben Griffin and Russell Henley for Johnny. Siwoo Kim, who's high on the power ranking here. Ludvig Åberg, my guy, and Sepp Straka for Greg. Johnny, anything new in your world of golf? Do you want to share?
We got a nice order from the Foundry Golf Club. They bought 26 Navy Blazers last week. And we just did the Olympic Club.
All right.
Board members.
Now you're staying hot. You're staying hot. Greg, what's new in your world at Windyke?
Man, we are just in great shape, and things are solid out here. It's really it's a fun time. Our men's group and our ladies' groups are the biggest they've ever been, and just a lot of good time getting out here playing golf with your friends.
And finally, Mickey, I heard rave reviews about your Audubon Championship. I love it. You got championships for every golf course now.
Oh, yeah, we had a.
Oh, and by the way, Pine Hill 24 open every day now.
Yeah, open 7 days a week. So we're excited about that, having everybody able to come out on Mondays. And we're really starting to get some traction at Pine Hill, doing more rounds than we've ever done there that we have record for. Our golf course is great.
Wow.
Fairways are probably the best of all the courses right now. So, yeah, go to Pine Hill and play. It's fantastic.
Outstanding. Thank you, guys. I'm going to be off the next couple of weeks. Landon Schmidt will be picking for him. I'm giving him all of the financial updates, and I'll chat with you guys 3 Wednesdays from now.
Okay. Thank you, Willow.
Thank you, guys. Thank you much.
Willow, enjoy your time.
Yep. Bye-bye. That is Golf Picks, brought to you in part by our good friend Shel Dunn. Whether you're competing on the golf course, maybe the baseball diamond, the gridiron, the hardwood, doesn't matter. If you follow your competition, you're always behind. That's it. Sheldon Rosengarten, Mark Spensdorf, who, by the way, is the worst golfer in town, tells people selling a home is exactly like the competition you face in sports. If you don't have a good coach, good guides, a strategic plan like he's got, and he executes the plan, you'll head to the lockers. You'll be a loser. Don't do that. Don't sit while others are selling. With steady interest rates, there's a lot of activity in the market. The inventory's actually increased, so it's even more important to get into the best position before the game starts. Want to get a better price or sell quicker? Call or email Sheldon. Find out why people say when you want the job done, you call Sheldon, MemphisRelocate.com or 483-0546. That's it for us. We're back tomorrow. See you then. Johnny Radio's next. Have a great day, everyone.